Today's shir is Masechta Nedarim Daf Ayin Dalet. We will begin on Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. As we learned in Masechta Yevamos, if someone passes away without leaving any children, the Torah says that his wife should receive Yibum, his wife should marry his brother, or have Chalitza. Says our Mishnah, Shemaris Yavim, we have this woman who is awaiting Yibum from her brother-in-law. Bainli Yavim Echad Bainli Shnei Yavim. It makes no difference if there's more than one brother-in-law. If there's one brother-in-law, more than one brother-in-law. Rebbeleza says that the relationship that is created between the Shemaris Yavim and her Yavim is such a strong relationship that creates a situation that, just like we've been learning, a husband revokes the nedarim of his wife, the relationship that's created between the Yavam and his Shomeris Yavam and his sister-in-law is such a strong relationship that he has the ability to be made for her nedarim. Rabbi Shua makes the following distinction. Lechad avaloy l'shnayim. If there's one brother-in-law, says Rabbi Yeshua, so obviously he's the only brother-in-law that could do Yibam. Only a brother-in-law could do Yibam. Only the husband's brother, surviving brothers, could do Yibam. So if there's one brother, so there we have a strong relationship. Avloy l'shnayim, if there are two brothers, so we don't know which of the surviving brother-in-laws will be doing the Yibam. So that creates a situation where there isn't this strong relationship between the Shomeris Yavam and her brother-in-laws, and therefore he can't be made for the Nedarim. This entire sugya that we're learning today is really also taught to us in Masechet Yevamos Daf Chavtes. There are Rishonim, the Ramban, in Masechet Yevamos suggest that Rabbi Yeshua that just made a distinction where there's one brother-in-law or two brother-in-laws will hold, says the Ramban, that if that each the brother-in-law, if there are more than one, can't do Yibam, but maybe the two brother-in-laws together could do Hafara. Because given that they together have the connection with the Yavama, so Rabbi Shua will hold that the two Yavam, the two brother-in-laws together could do Hafara. Our Gemara seems to point that according to Rabbi Shua, if there's more than one brother-in-law, he holds that Hafara can't take place. It makes no difference if there's one surviving brother or more than one surviving brother. Rabbi Kiva, as we're going to explain his opinion, holds that a brother-in-law, a Yavam, can never do Hafar. Amr Rabbi Leza. So Rabbi Leza argues to prove his point that a Yavam should have the ability to do Hafar. Because man isha shekoinahu l'atzma. A man marries a woman. The man marries the woman. It's his own choice. And as we've been learning, Harehu Mefin Adoreha. He has the right to be made for Hanadorim. So certainly, says Rabbi Leza, in a situation, Isha Shaitan Wayman Shamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this relationship between the Shemeris Yavam and Hayavam. Certainly, Einadin Shaitan Adoreha, she have the right to be made for Hanadorim. Amalai Rabbi Kiva, says Rabbi Kiva to Rabbi Leza, Loi, Imamat be Isha Shkano La'atzma, if I marry a woman, she'en l'cherim b'rishus. We know that the fundamental definition of a marriage between a man and a woman is that this woman is exclusively the wife of her husband. Toimar b'isha she'et nolem n'shamayim, whereas in a situation of yibum, she'esh l'cherim b'rishus. We know that the halacha is that any of the brother-in-laws have the right to do yibum. And even as the Rishonim point out, that we do know the Gemara Masechet Yevamos says, mitzvah agodol sheba achim liyabim, that preferably the oldest brother should do Yibam. That's only a mitzvah. But certainly all brothers have the right to do Yibam. And the proof is, because let's say a younger brother will do Yibam before an older brother, that Yibam will certainly be an acceptable Yibam. So we see, says Rabbi Kiva, that the fundamental characteristic of a marriage, which is exclusivity between the husband and wife, doesn't apply in the relationship between a Yavam and his sister-in-law, that they don't have an exclusive relationship. Amalei Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabbi Akiva, Dverecha b'shnei Yavam, You're correct. If the husband who died left over two brothers, so each brother, as we just said, has the right to do Yibum, and therefore the relationship between the Shemeres Yavam and the brother-in-laws are not considered an exclusive relationship, which is the fundamental characteristic of a marriage. However, says Rabbi Yeshua to Rekiva, Ma'atameish vel Yavam Echad, if there's only one surviving brother, so he's the only candidate to do Yibum. Shouldn't that create, says Rabbi Yeshua, a full-fledged relationship between the Yavam and his sister-in-law that should create a situation that bond should be strong enough that he should be able to do Hafara? Amala, Ein ha-Yavam ha-Gemura li-Yibum, K'shem sharusa gemura li-Isha. Says Rabbi Kiva, we can't compare the relationship of a Yavama to her Yavam as to the relationship of an Arusa to her husband. And the explanation is that we know that if an Arusa is considered an Ishis Ish, and if an Arusa, Chas V'Shalom, has an adulterous relationship, she's Mechuyiv Misa. However, the relationship between a Yavama and her Yavam prior to his doing Yibam is not such a strong relationship. And if a Yavama were to have a relationship with another man while she's waiting for Yibam, while she's a Shemeres Yavam, she's not Mechuyiv Misa. So that's a proof that her relationship is much weaker than the relationship between an Orus and an Arusa, and that's why the Yavam, says Rabbi Kiva, does not have the right to do Hafara in his Shemeres Yavam's Nedarim. The Mefarshim point out that Rabbi Kiva could have made another point. Rabbi Kiva could have made a point that we know that once a woman is an Arusa, she's an Eishes Ish. An Eishes Ish is not able to get married to another man. Once a woman is married to one man, once she's mureses to a man, she's considered his wife and cannot obtain kedushin to another man. Whereas a Shemeres Yavam, if another man comes along while she's a Shemeres Yavam and is Mekadoshar, marries her, the kedushin may be valid. Why does Rabbi Kiva make that point? Say to Mefarshim, because as we learned in Masechet Yavamos, this subject, if a woman who's a Shemeres Yavam, who has a chiyuv lav, that she may not marry another man, is she a woman that can be taifas kedushin? Is she a woman that another man can marry, is actually a machlokes? And some tanom hold that a woman who even has a chiyuv lav to marry someone else, the kedushin is not taifas. So Rekiva wanted to avoid that subject, so he brought this proof. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Rabbi Kiva Sava Ein Zika. Rabbi Kiva's opinion in our Mishnah is Ein Zika. As we learned in Masechet Yavamos, there's a concept known as Zika. Zika means creating a band. And Rabbi Kiva in our Mishnah holds that there is no band created between the Yavama, the Shemeres Yavam, and her Yavam. And therefore he may not be made for her Nadarim. Rabbi Yeshua Sava Yeh Zika. And Rabbi Yeshua, on the other hand, holds that a band is created between the Shemeres Yavam and the Yavam, and that's why he could be made for Hanadarim. Ask the Mefarshim, why does the Gemara have to explain that the basis for Rekiva's reasoning is because he holds Ein Zika? The basis for Rekiva's reasoning, we just learned in the Mishnah, Rekiva explained his logic. So it doesn't have anything necessarily to do with Ein Zika. Mefarshim answer that what the Gemara is trying to say, and we're going to discuss this more mit Hashem later in the Shir, that according to Rekiva, a woman who's a Shemeres Yavam, provided that she was never a Nesua, and provided she's not a Bogeres, would now, her father is made for her Nedarim himself. And that's what Rekiva is trying to say with the words Ein Zika. The Gemara is teaching us that according to Rekiva, there is no relationship between the Shemeres Yavam and the Yavam. Ein Zika, there is no relationship. And therefore this girl is under this category, even though she was previously Mureses, it's a situation of Nisraikna, where she goes back to the household of her father, and he's made for the Nedarim by himself. Rav Shach, the Sefer Avi Ezri, asked the question, that our Gemara is saying that the Machloikas Tanom of our Mishnah if a Faras Nadar between the Yavam and Shmeres Yavam could take place is dependent on the Shaila of Yezika or Einzika. As Rav Shachter, when we learned Masech the Yavamas, the Gemara was quite clear that this concept of Zika is only a concept of the Rabbanan. Midraisa, there is no concept of Zika. So how could a Rabbanan the concept of Zika, asks Rav Shach, have the ability to give someone the power to be made from the Dor and Midraisa? So Rav Shach answers that every Kedushin, he says in the name of Rav Chaim Brisker, every Kedushin has two components to it. One is that there's a relationship created between a husband and a wife, which the Torah calls She'eroi. A wife is considered the relative, the wife of a husband. And the second aspect, actually it's probably the first aspect, of the relationship that's created between a Kedushin, a husband and a wife, is that a wife is the kinyan. A husband, so to speak, buys his wife, does a kinyan in his wife. Says Rav Shach, certainly Zika cannot create the relationship of She'eroi, that this is husband and wife. But it does create a relationship that she's like the kinyan of a husband. And the Gemara at this point feels, that's Rav Ami's explanation, that's the Gemara's explanation at this point, says Rav Shach, that the relationship that exists between a Shemeres Yavam and a Yavam is a relationship of a kinyan, of a husband to wife, and that is all of a relationship you need to have, that the husband should have the right to be made for the Nedarim. Ask the Gemara, we've explained Rabbi Kiva's opinion, we've explained Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Lazar, my Tame. What is the explanation and understanding Rabbi Lazar? Because even if we'll say, yay Zika, and there was a relationship created between the Shomer's Yavam and the Yavam, still, Ein Breira. We don't know which of the brother-in-laws is going to be the actual brother-in-law doing the Yibam that has this relationship with the Shomer's Yavam. So the Rishonim Masech Yavamas explain Ein Breira in the classical sense of Breira that we have throughout Shas. Breira means retroactive designation. And the Gemara's question is that even if there's a Shaila throughout Shas, do we say Breira? Do we not say Breira? Certainly, Midrais Da'aloch is we don't rely on Breira. And here we're relying on Breira that retroactively this brother-in-law that did the Yibam, we say is the brother-in-law that was her husband or had the status of a husband all along. But the Rishonim in our Masechta, the Rosh here, explains the Gemara differently. As we've been learning, the Torah gives a husband the ability, the right to be made from the darm of his wife. The Torah says, Vishama Isha. Her husband hears and revokes a neder. But he has to be her husband. We have to know for sure that he's her husband. In this case, with his more than one brother-in-law, we don't know that he's her husband. So why does he have the right to be made for? Amar of Ami, Kigan Shasuba Maimar. As the Gemara explains in Masechta Yavamas, a woman who's a Yavama, there are two options. Either Yibum, that the husband has relations, that the Yavam has relations with this woman and she becomes his wife, or Chalitza. But the Gemara Masechta in the Dorim discusses Maimer. Maimer is what we would call a regular Kedushin, Chup, a Shtar or Kesef. And even though Midaraisa, Maimer is not really an option by Yavama, Rabbanon said the Maimer should take place. And the reason the Mefarshim explained Masech the Yavamas, because they felt it was inappropriate that a woman should become married just by having relations. Our Gemara is now going to quote that according to Beis Shammai, Rebbe Lezer somber like Beis Shammai, Rebbe Lezer holds like Beis Shammai, the Omer Maimer kaina kinya gomer. So as soon as one of the brother-in-laws did Maimer, this woman, this Shomeres Yavam, is considered his wife, according to Beis Shammai, and that's why he's the one that's going to do the Hafara. And as the Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos explains, the difficulty in this pshat is that we have Rebbe Lezer following the opinion of Beis Shammai. We always follow the opinion of Beis Hillel. Says the Rambam, Throughout Shas, we know that the Gemara says Rebbe Lezer Shemutihi. Rebbe Lezer was from the students of Beis Shammai, and he follows the opinion of Beis Shammai. Rebbe Yeshua Aymalach. Rebbe Yeshua, how will Rebbe Yeshua explain? Rebbe Yeshua said that if there's one Yavam, then he could do Hafara. If there's more than one Yavam, he can't do Hafara. Hani mili b'chad yavam. If there's only one yavam, so that relationship is strong enough that he should be able to do the hafara. Avashnei yavamim. But if there are two yavamim, loy. Then neither of them could do the hafara. Why? Mi kamidi. The ka'osa achui osa lebebiya begita umefer. So the Rishonim explained that even Beis Shammai, who he just quoted holding the bias kaina, a Kenyan Gomer, Beis Shammai will agree, says the Ran, that let's say one brother-in-law does Maimer. And before he could consummate that relationship, another brother gives this Yavama get, or another Yavama does Bia, the Maimer that the first brother did turns out to be meaningless. And again, the Ran says that this is even according to the opinion of Beis Shammai. Others say that Beis Shammai will not agree to this. Since this Yavam's Maimer is not that strong, says Rabbi Yeshua, proof being that another brother could essentially disqualify it, therefore Rabbi Yeshua disagrees with Rabbi Lezer, and he doesn't give the credence to the Maimer that Rabbi Lezer does, that says as soon as one brother does Maimer, that connects them, the Yavam to the Yavama, that he could be able to be made from the Dharam. Rabbi Kiva, as we said at the beginning of the Gemara, holds Ein Zika. And until Yibum is actually performed, there really is no real relationship between the Shemeris Yavam and the Yavama, and therefore none of the brother-in-laws could do Hafara, even if there's only one. Ask the Gemara, the basis of Rav Ami's explanation of Rav Elezer in our Mishnah was giving a lot of strength to Maimer. But ask the Gemara, there's a Machloikis in Masechta Yavamis, how much strength does Beis Shammai really give to Maimer? Rav Ami explains that Beis Shammai gives a lot of strength to Maimer. However, Rabbi Elazar, Domer Maimer LeBeis Shammai Ein Koino. Even Rabbi Shammai, according to Rabbi Elazar's explanation, Maimer doesn't have that much power. The only power it has is Litchos Betzora, Michael Maimer. And on Litchos Betzora we have Machlokes Rishonim. How to understand it? Rashi understands the following situation. If we have two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, married to two sisters, Rachel and Leah. And Reuven, Rachman and Tzlan, dies without any children. And Rachel now falls to Shimon for Yibum. Since she's a Chos Ishtai, she's Shimon's wife, Leah's sister, there is no Chiv Yibum. You can't do Yibum in a Tzara. There's no relationship. What would be the halacha of the three brothers? We have Reuven and Shimon, married to two sisters, Rachel and Leah, and there's a third brother, Levi. Reuven, married to Rachel, dies without any children. So to Shimon, as we just explained, she doesn't fall, because Shimon's married to her sister, Leah. But she does fall to her sister, to her brother-in-law, Levi. What will be if Reuven and Shimon passed away without any children, and now Rachel and Leah both fall to Levi? There everybody agrees that since there are choysu kakasois, Levi has zika to two sisters, the halach is that both of them only could get chalitza, neither is a candidate for Yibam. Comes along Beis Shammai and says the following case. Reuven died without any children. His wife Rachel doesn't fall to Shimon, a chois ishtoi, but does fall to Levi. Levi does Maimer in Rachel, and before he can consummate that Maimer, Shimon dies. Says Beis Shammai, according to Rabbi Elazar's explanation of Beis Shammai, that's what Maimer could accomplish, that we look at it as if Levi is married, so to speak, to Rachel, and he doesn't have any obligation to Leah, but he can consummate the Maimer that he did with Rachel to a marriage. That's how Rashi and the Ran and Al Gemara explain this Beis Shammai's opinion. But that's the entire extent of Maimer. Tosfos in Masechet Yevamos explains it a lot more simply. We know that Allah is Bayis Echur Huboina Veina Boina Shnei Batim. That means if a man was married to a number of women, only one of those women, you only have to do Yibim one of those women. But until Yibim is done at least with one of the women, all of the women are considered Shemeris Yavams, and they're not allowed to get married. Says Rabbi Elazar according to Beis Shammai, that if a brother-in-law did Maimer in one of the surviving wives of the brother who passed away, that is enough that this is the woman who is going to be the Yavama, and now the other wives, even though that Yibim wasn't really consummated, could go get married without waiting for the actual Yibim to take place. The Achroidim explained that the Machloikus of Rashi and Tosfos is really based on how do we view what Maimer does. Does Maimer represent the beginning of Yibum? And if Maimer, that's what Tosfos understands. If Maimer represents the beginning of Yibum, that's why once Maimer was done with the one wife, the other wives are free to get married. The other, that's how Tosfos explains. Rashi is going to obviously hold that Maimer doesn't have that ability. It only accomplishes that it prevents the other woman from becoming a zakuka. So the Gemara's question now is, no matter if we follow Rashi's explanation or Tosfos' explanation, Maimer isn't that powerful even according to Beis Shammai. So now we go back to ask, according to Rabbi Elazar, yes, Maimer was done with one of the Shemeris Yavams, but is that enough that that Yavam should be able to be made for revoke on the Dorim? Hachem Maiskinen, answers the Gemara, K'ron Sh'amet B'din V'Schai L'Mazaynus. We have a Machlokas Rishonim, how to understand this. Some Rishonim say that besides that this brother-in-law did Maimer, he also delayed in actually doing Yibam. And this Shomeris Yavam says to her brother-in-law, I'm left in limbo and I have no source of support. So she takes him to Beis Din. And Beis Din says, you have to start, you didn't do Yibam, but you have to start supporting your sister-in-law that you did Maimer to. Other Rishonim say that he didn't necessarily do Maimer. A sister-in-law took a brother-in-law to Beis Din and said, you have to support me. I can't be left in limbo. And we go back to what we learned in the previous year. Since this woman has a strong relationship with this man, he's supporting her. So we learned in the previous year that Rabbi Elazar holds that once he starts supporting her, that creates a bond between the husband and wife. Once he starts supporting her, that creates a bond. And that's why we learned there, Rabbi Elazar holds in the Mishnah, that any person who has to start supporting a woman is considered a husband, they can be made for her Nadarim. Here too, since this Yavam is supporting this Yavama, he has the right to be made for Nadarim. So now the question is, what will be Rabbi Yeshua's opinion? So the Ran is actually an Amud Beis, gives us two ways of understanding Rabbi Yeshua. If we'll say that in the previous Mishnah, the Chachomim who disagree with Rabbi Elazar are Rabbi Yeshua, which is typical in Shas, because in Shas many times when we find that Rabbi Elazar argues with the Chachomim, who are the Chachomim he's arguing with is Rabbi Yeshua, we'll explain as follows. Rabbi Yeshua says that just because a woman is being supported by a man doesn't create a relationship that he has a right to be made for her Nadarim. And that's why just because he's supporting her doesn't make a difference. That's what we say the Chacham in the previous Mishnah are not Rabbi Yeshua. Says the Ran, and if we'll say in the previous Mishnah that it isn't Rabbi Yeshua that's arguing Rabbi Elazar, so Rabbi Yeshua will, Enochanami will hold that just if she's being supported, she does have the right to be made for. However, if there are more than one Yavam, and yes, this one Yavam was the one that was obligated by Beis Din to support her, it's still not enough, says the Ran, explaining Rabbi Yeshua's opinion, that if there's another Yavam, that they should have such a strong relationship that it should be able to be made for the Nadar. Rabbi Yehuda Asad uses this Gemara to speak about a very interesting Shaila. The halacha is, we're going to learn in Masechta Gittin, that if a couple get divorced, they're not allowed to live in the same neighborhood. They're certainly not allowed to live in the same house. They're not allowed to live in the same neighborhood. And Mitzvah Shev, when we learn Masechta Gittin, we will define what that means. So the following shaila was posed to Rabbi Yehuda Asad. There were two brothers married to two women living in the same house. The two brothers shared a house. And one brother passed away without children. And the woman was already an older woman. She had no intention of getting remarried. So they never did chalitza. Even we don't do anyway, as we learned Masechta Yevamos in the name of Abishol. One day, the surviving brother comes to Rabbi Yehuda Asad and says that he had a dream that his brother, who died, is telling him, I want you to do chalitza. My neshama doesn't have a rest in the Olam HaEmes because chalitza wasn't performed. So he tells Rabbi Yehuda Asad, I'm prepared to do chalitza with my sister-in-law. But the question is, does a chalitza have the same din as a get? And if it has the same din as a get, now my sister-in-law will not be able to live in the same house as me, because you can't live in the same house as your divorcee. And she says, I'm an old woman, this is my house, this is the only house I know, I don't want to live anywhere else, and I'm not prepared to go under a chalitza process to lose my place of living. So Rabbi Yehuda Asad said, it depends on our Gemara. Because our Gemara is discussing how close does the halacha view the relationship between a Shemeres Yavam and a Yavam. And we're saying that according to Beis Shammai, and even according to Beis Shammai, maybe only when Maimer was done, that creates a strong relationship. But otherwise, there may not be that much of a relationship. And therefore, she's not considered like his divorcee. And even after he performs chalitza with her, they could still remain in the same house. So he could do the chalitza, and she doesn't have to move. Tanan, Amar Rabbi Elazar. We learned in our Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar said, Oman isha shekana l'atzma. If in a case where a man marries a woman by his own free will, the halacha is, haray hu mei from the derecha, he has the right to revoke on the darim, isha shetelim l'shamayim. So woman that he didn't marry on his own, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him this wife, ain't a din, shamei from the derecha. That was what Rabbi Elazar explained in our Mishnah is the basis for his opinion. Ask the Gemara, v'ibish osba mama kona l'atzmai, if our Mishnah is referring, as we've been explaining, that's not just she's his Yevama, but he actually did Maimer, so it has nothing to do with Shemayim. It has to do with his action, that he did Maimer. So why is our Mishnah, why is Rabbi Elazar saying in our Mishnah that he, that it's Shemayim that did the work? It's his work. He did the Maimer. V'ibish osba Maimer, Kanal Atzmahu, he did the Kinyan. It's not from heaven. Answers the Gemara, Shekanal Atzmahu Yidei Shemayim. Yes, he did the Maimer. But Maimer could only be done in a woman who Hashem told you is connected to you. So it starts with the Shemayim and it ends with Atzmai. And that's why Rabbi Elazar is correct in saying in our Mishnah that it's considered Kinyan Yidei Shemayim. Ask the Gemara, Tifshet Dabai Rabba, should our Mishnah not be a raya or an answer to the shaila that was posed by Rabbah? Again, Maimer, who we said according to Beis Shammai, has a lot of power. The shaila is Maimer Beis Shammai, Erusunoisa on the Sunoisa. The Gemara Masechta Yevamos questions how far does Maimer go? Does Maimer accomplish the same as Erusin? Or does Maimer even accomplish the same as Nesuin? Most Rishonim, that's the way the Ran, and most Rishonim and our Amid learn, that the Gemara's question about what does Maimer accomplish, does it accomplish Erusin on the Suin, is only when the Maimer was done with a Bia. If there was Maimer alone, the Rishonim and our Amid seem to feel that that would not make a Nesuin. It's only if Maimer was done, and then there was a Bia, but the Bia was not done with Shem Yibam. But if you take together the Maimer with that beer, what does it accomplish? However, the Mashal disagrees, and the Mashal says that certainly Maimer coupled with beer would certainly accomplish in the Suin. And Al Gemara is referring when there was Maimer alone, and the Gemara's question is, does Maimer accomplish Erusin in the Suin? Says the Gemara, Tifshet in the Suin, Isa. Can't we bring a Raya that accomplishes the Suin? The Erusin to Isa, if all Maimer accomplishes is Erusin, Hotanan, we learned at the beginning of our Perek, Nara Hamurasa, or Vio Balam, if you're in the Rao. If a girl is only meresis, her husband and her father jointly are made for Nedarim. Our Mishnah is saying that he's made for Nedarim by himself, the Yavam. So it must be it's in the Suin, because if it's only Erisin, how could he be made for himself? Omer Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. When our Mishnah uses the word Yefer, it doesn't mean that he should be made for by himself. My Yefer, it means Yefer b'shutfus. It should be Hafar b'shutfus. So the Ran quotes Rajba that asks the following question. How could the Gemara have a Shaila that Maimer accomplishes Nesu'in? If we follow in our Mishnah the dialogue between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Elazar, it's obviously that they're only referring to Erisin, because Rabbi Akiva speaks about Shekana Latzmai, that he did the Erisin. So how could the Gemara even have a Havamina that it means Nesu'in according to Rabbi Elazar? So the Rajbi answers that the way to understand the Mishnah is as follows. According to the Havamina, Rabbi Elazar will hold the Maimer does Nesu'in. But Rabbi Elazar is saying to Rabbi Akiva, you may not want to agree to me, with me, that Maimer accomplishes Nesu'in, but shouldn't you at least agree that Maimer accomplishes Erisin? I, according to the Havamina of the Gemara, hold that accomplishes Nesu'in. But shouldn't you at least agree that accomplishes Erisin? To which Rabbi Akiva responds, it doesn't even accomplish Erisin. But anyway, in the Maskana, even Rabbi Elazar will agree that all Maimer does is Erisin, and that's why the Gemara is saying that even according to Rabbi Elazar, this woman who had Maimer from her brother-in-law, yes, he has the right, not just the right, he has the authority to be made for the Nedarim, but it has to be jointly with her father. Says the Gemara, Tanan. We learned in a braisa that corroborates the opinion of Rav Ami, who Rav Ami explained that our Mishnah is referring to a situation where the brother-in-law did Maimer. The braisa says, Shemeres Yavam, if a woman who's waiting for Yibam, Ben Yavam Echa Ben Shnei Yavamim, whether it's one surviving brother-in-law or two surviving brother-in-laws, Rav Elazar Ami Yefer. Rav Elazar says that brother, the brother-in-law could do Afara. Yeshua, this we learned in our Mishnah. Lechot, if there's one brother-in-law, he could do Hafara, v'loy l'shnayim. Rav Akiva disagrees, and he says, loy lecha v'loy l'shnayim. It makes no difference if there's one brother or two brother-in-law. A Yavam doesn't have the ability to do Hafara. Amar b'lezer, u'ma'im ishish ein lo chelik ba, at shaloy tovo l'rishusay. If in a woman who I didn't marry, so I certainly don't have the right to do Hafara. The halach is, Mishabasla Rishusai, once I do marry her, Nigmaloi, she becomes my wife, and I have the right to do Afara. Isha, Sheishla Chelk Acha Tavala Rishusai, a woman that I do have some connection to. Why? Because I did Maimer, and this is the proof that Abeleza's explanation is correct, because it said that I did Maimer. Ain't a din, Shatigmaloi. Certainly, I have the right to do Hafar on her. Amalei Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says to Rabbi Elazar, Loi, in a matter she shikanu la'atzmai, in a woman that I choose to marry, k'shem she'en l'chelik ba, kach en l'cherem chelik ba. Once I do erisin in a woman, she becomes my wife, to the exclusion of all other men. Toimer b'isha she'hikdan le'min ha'shamayim, whereas a woman that is my yavama, just because I did Maimer, says Rabbi Akiva, that doesn't mean that the other brother-in-laws are excluded, because Rabbi Akiva says that Maimer isn't like what Beis Shammai says, where I understand even Beis Shammai doesn't hold that way, that she becomes exclusively that Yavam's wife. Amalei Rabbi Akiva, the Verecha b'shnei Yavamim. So they said, Amalei Rabbi Shua. So Yeshua says to Akiva, "Dvarech b'shnei yavamim, I could agree with you when there are two yavamim, that just because one brother did maimer, that really doesn't connect them that much. However, mata meshva yavam echad, if we only have one brother-in-law, and that one brother-in-law did maimer, shouldn't that create a very strong relationship that he should be able to revoke on the darim? Amalei klum chalaknu." A Yavam Echad Vashnei Yavam says to Rabbi Akiva to Rabbi Yeshua To me, it makes no difference if there's one Yavam, if there's two Yavams. To me, there's no difference. Ben Shalos B'Maimer, Ben Shalos B'Maimer. Since, as we learned at the beginning of the Shir, if this woman, who is a Shemeres Yavam, and even if she's a Shemeres Yavam to only one Yavam, and not only if she's a Shemeres Yavam to your Yavam, that one Yavam did Maimer, what would be the halacha if at that point she would have a relationship with another man? She wouldn't be mechuyev nisa. It's not considered such an adulterous relationship. That's why, says Rabbi Kiva, I don't consider this relationship strong enough that he should be able to be made for hanadarim. Ukshan nadarim came nadarim belosh, came nadarim. And just like I see that regarding this situation, they're not really considered husband and wife, so too regarding nadarim. Belosh nazeh, after Rabbi Kiva made this point, Amar ben Azai said, "Ben Azai, chaval olecha ben Azai. It's a pity shelo shemashtas Rabbi Kiva that you didn't learn by Rabbi Kiva, because you could have learned. Look what a lamdin Rabbi Kiva was, and if you would have learned by him, as the Mefarshim say, Ben Azai was a Talmud chaver. He was more of a colleague of Rabbi Kiva's versus being a student. And being a student of such a great Rebbe would have had such a positive influence." Duran asks, according to Rabbi Kiva, who says that the relationship between a Yavam and a Shemeres Yavam is really not that strong. So let's say we had a girl who was only Mu'reses, and then her husband died, so she is a Shemeres Yavam, and she makes a neder. Can a father be made for her nedarim by himself or not? So the Ran says, certainly any nedarim she made before she became a Shemeres Yavam, that means while she was Mu'reses, and then her husband died, so any nedarim that she made prior to her husband's death, we revert back to the sugyas that we've been learning about in the Sreitna, that the father has the sole right to be made for nedarim. The question that the Ran and the other Rishonim are left with is, while a woman is a Shemeres Yavam, she made a neder. And again, she was only Mu'reses, and she's not yet a Bogeres. Otherwise, her father has no authority over her. Are those nedarim revoked by the father himself? Are those nedarim revoked by the father and the Yavam according to Rabbi Kiva together? Or perhaps no one can be made for them. The father can't be made for them himself because there is a Yavam. The Yavam really isn't a real player, as Rabbi Kiva just explained, and maybe she's left with her nedarim not being revocable. But as I made a statement that he said, Chaval Alech Ben Azai, so here we speak about the concept which we learn in Pirkei Avos is one of the Menches Tvarim, one of the 48 ways Shatoyra Niknes. It says in the Mishnah, the Braisa, Shimush Tamid Chachamim. But the question is, what does Shimush Tamid Chachamim really mean? So I saw a number of Pshatim. Ramosha says Shimush Tamid Chachamim means that even though we live in a world with our Sfarim, Baruch Hashem, there are a lot of Sfarim that the Gemara is written, and there are many Sfarim explaining the Gemara. Not everything is written. You still need a Rebbe to give you the understanding and the explanation of what it says in the Sfarim. And that's what he says Shimush Tamid Chachamim means. Rechaim Shmulevitz has more of a Musadiger approach to it. He says a Rebbe is not just there to teach you Chumash, Mishnayis, Gemara. A Rebbe is there to teach you a way of life. A way of life. And that you can't just get from learning Sfarim. That you need a Rebbe to learn from and to emulate. Rav Tzadik HaKoyin, Rav Tzadik from Lublin, has more of a Chassidish pshat. He says that the Rebbe's influence on a Talmidim is not just limited to their learning and understanding the subject matter. A Rebbe who has the proper hashpah, a Rebbe who has the proper influence, has the ability to bring to his Talmidim a havas haTorah, to bring to his Talmidim a love for Torah. He has the ability to bring to his Talmidim a cheshik, a desire to learn Torah. He has the ability to bring to his Talmidim a new level in Yirah Shemayim. That cannot be obtained without a Rebbe-Talmud relationship. And that's what Ben Azai said, how I had a Rebbe like Rabbi Kiva would have brought me to this level of a Havas HaTorah of a Yirah Shemayim.